I'm reading from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her in break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice to the earth. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with me. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May the Lord bless his word.
I am not an international man of mystery like John Martin. In fact, it's 13 years since I've been on an aeroplane, from a time where I was flying most, probably every other month. I've gone to an absence of flying. Sue is a problem. She hates it like the plague. And I think the problem was she was flying in-country in Africa, and she asked about the facilities, and she was told it was an outside toilet. I think that's probably what did it. But there's I don't miss flying. I'm quite happy not to fly. I can live without the cardboard food. I can live with waiting in those lounges, nervous that you're going to miss your connection. Big chunk of my flights were to East Africa, and I was going to say an asset, but I'll get in trouble. A prized possession of an African woman is a big bottom. And if you're on a night flight between two ladies who are well endowed in the appropriate way, it's not the most comfortable of flights that you could have. So I don't miss that side at I don't miss that side at all. What Psalm 46 describes to us, I liken to a kind of a flight in an aircraft. A flight that experiences turbulence. A flight that might ask us, do we really trust the pilot? We can't see what's happening. Maybe it's very jolty and the... the cabin itself is rattling and the bags are moving around. Can we trust the pilot? Does he know what he's doing? We hear of stories of pilots have gone into misfortune, causing even death. In this age of hijacking, of terrorism, of war and disaster, can we trust the pilot? Can we trust God in all things? When we look around and we see so many things that might otherwise challenge our understanding of an all-powerful God. That's what I wanted. The psalm gives us examples of turbulent human experiences and threaded through it are statements of faith. That are perhaps best summed up in that opening verse. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Verses 2 and 3 point to a series of natural disasters. They speak to the earth giving way, mountains falling into the sea, roaring waters, earthquakes. These things are facts of life. Things that we... every now and again, we read in our newspapers. There's so much I don't understand, but one of the things that I have read is things like tornadoes are needed for the natural balance of the world. Now, it probably needs somebody with 16 different degrees to explain that. But I've heard it said that without tornadoes, the whole balance of life would shift and would not work in the way that it does at present. But if you're living in the South Pacific and a cyclone hits you, you're not really too interested in the reasons why. If you're in Nepal and the earthquake hits, if your house is swept away or flooded beyond an antisocial level, if your house is threatened by an Australian bushfire, then you still ask those same questions. Who is in control of all of this? The insurance companies, of course, tell us that they're acts of God. And I don't know what you think about that, but we can't sign up to saying God is sovereign, almighty, or powerful, and then say he's got nothing to do with the unfortunate bits of life. Maybe there's something in it that we need to understand about that balance of life, that natural scientific balance. Maybe we need to understand more about our responsibilities to other parts of the world. As John was saying, you know, the Falklands was largely a forgotten province until suddenly it got stirred up in 1982. How many forgotten provinces and tribes and nations are there across the world that we say, it's nothing to do with me? Not consciously do we say that, but subconsciously by not identifying with other nations. In part, we're actually surely saying that. Maybe it's to do with heeding the warnings. And we know those little sort of red circles on the atlas that show there are sort of danger areas. I go down to Beachy Head quite a lot. That's an exciting life I have. And I go down to Burling Gap. And those of you who know the area just by Beachy Head know that the cafe crumbled into the sea. So what do the National Trust do? They move it back a few yards, rebuild a wonderful new cafe and an information centre, knowing that year by year the cliffs are crumbling away. So somebody's made an intelligent decision on this. But the reality is that they've put it there knowing that before not so very long, it will fall into the sea again. We need to heed the warnings and make appropriate decisions. But coming at these things from a spiritual perspective, we have to come to terms with the difference between life on earth and the life that is yet to come. And we can only make some kind of sense in all the traumas and the disasters that are going on in our world today if they are not the very end. If they are the very end, then what we believe in is kind of superficial. But if God is sovereign, almighty God, and there is a life beyond what we see, and people who we love passionately die, and we want to know that God has them in his care and is in his eternal kingdom. And that helps us. It doesn't answer all our questions, but it helps us understand a little bit more about the volatility of life as we know it. Can we trust the pilot when things are going wrong? David says in verses 1 and 2, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Well, that's a bit of a sweeping statement because we know that we do fear. And if we were out there in Nepal and the earthquake rumbled, we would fear. But ultimately, are we able to trust the pilot to guide us from where we are to a place of security? Security either in this world or security in his heavenly kingdom. Because the Bible tells us that bad things happen to good and bad people alike. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says he causes his sun to rise on the evil and good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And again, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I like my things. I love the people who are around me. I even love you lot. And I don't want my wife to be taken away from me, as some of yours have, or your husband, or maybe your children. I don't want that. But I want to know that if things like that happen, there's a God who looks not just after me, but looks after those who have been taken away. It's not just about the event. It cannot be just about the event. It cannot just be about the disaster. It has to be something to do with a wider faith context and our ultimate future with God. Verse 6 gets a bit more poignant for us. That has a bearing, of course, on Remembrance Day, but verse 6 is particularly poignant for us today. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. Well, isn't that the story of history? And I can give you a list of wars and conflicts dating back to the fall of Jerusalem in 701 BC, right through to ISIS and the Ukraine today. Now that is just a tip. That is just a tip of the historical iceberg. So what does the psalmist, what does David say about our future hope and security? Verse 1 again, he said, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God's ultimate rescue act for believers is only part of it. You know, we need to maintain a faith that said God is sovereign and in control and all things work together for good for those who believe in him. But we also need to know that he's not on holiday now. And the psalmist says, he is here. He says he's an ever-present help in trouble. Who is it that raises up many of the peacemakers during times of conflict? Who is it that facilitates the love and the compassion that has been known in previous wars and is evident in the world today as we support our servicemen? Where has that come from? Who motivates many of the aid agencies to go out and provide practical care and to love and to pray with? In so many cases, it is the Lord God who is the ever-present help amidst all the trauma and all the disasters. God is our refuge. He's not a number 321 bus shielding us from the rain on the way to Eltham. He's an ever-present help who provides shelter for us now, knowing that ultimately there will be total and absolute security. God is our strength when all else seems weak and vulnerable and volatile. God gives us that extra bit of strength to help us through. Verses 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The reference to streams and rivers in Jerusalem, you may well know, is a bit sort of ironic, because there aren't any rivers in Jerusalem. But what there is the Gihon Spring. And it was Hezekiah who built a tunnel that actually created an inextinguishable supply of water for the people of Jerusalem. Sometimes God works in the most difficult of circumstances, but he provides inextinguishable supplies. Sometimes they're practical supplies, but often they're spiritual supplies that enable us to keep going, to keep hoping, keep trusting in the pilot. Verses 6 and 7, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God lifts up his voice. Remember that those bits in the Bible that often talk about the voice of God, the voice of God that was in creation, the voice of God, the Logos, that was at the beginning of John's Gospel. Creation, activity, all through the voice of God. It's not a day today for melting of the earth. But we're all ultimately answerable to the Lord God Almighty. And the reference to Jacob is an interesting one as well, because you remember Jacob was not all that he should have been. You remember his name means cheater. And that's the way he started out in life. He was a bit of a lad, bit of a cheater, wanting to get one over on his brother, wanted to get more than he really deserved. And yet here he is in this psalm. Despite the human nature that Jacob had, God didn't care too much about that. And although he lived an unorthodox life, yet God was with him, as he is with us now. Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Psalmist is clearly looking forward to that great day when there will only be peace, there will only be perfection, there will only be beauty, there will only be love. Is it impossible for now that wars might cease, that bows might be shattered? There can only be one way. That is when all focus on the ideal. The common good itself is not enough. Focusing on the ideal. And the ideal of perfection, of beauty, that is God. And finally, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. All things began with God, and all things must end with his glorious exaltation. But for now, we've got to trust the pilot. We've got to trust that he knows what he's doing. And just because we don't understand what he's doing doesn't make us the first lieutenant. We need to remain calm in him, calm and confident of his divine will. Often, despite some of the things that we see around us, these things will one day pass, as Jesus will once again be gloriously lifted up above the earth. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Trust the pilot to carry you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the confidence of those words of David, who himself lived in a warring times, a times when his own life was a bit of a mess, times when he just knew you like nobody else. Lord, that may be our experience. Maybe we're able to give thanks for the great things, but maybe we're challenged by some of the things in our own experience, some of the things in the world today. And even if we trust in your eventual plan, we're distressed that it can't be sooner. We want answers and we want them quick. Lord, give us patience. Give us patience to wait upon you in silence, in thanksgiving. Give us that confidence and trust to really believe that you're in control of this mess of a world, knowing that through it are the shafts of the rainbow and the sunlight and your love and compassion. Move within us, Lord. Draw close, let us draw close to you, that we might retain that confidence in the pilot at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.